Shalom, Basiur shelanu hayom.
Hello. In today's lesson, we'll be going over the text of lesson number 5 from the North America Convention of 2019. Lesson number 5, Awakening the Dawn with Joy and Gladness. You're welcome to go on our website, kab.tv, where you can watch the lesson and also send us questions, and some selected questions may be answered here during the lesson by Rav. So, lesson number 5, Awakening the Dawn with Joy and Gladness.
A person that even has a point in the heart, and he starts feeling that he's yearning to discover the meaning of life, the purpose of life, who's controlling his life, how's life unfolding, what does he have to achieve, what does he have to invest in. Even that he has all of these inclinations, he is unwilling to be in order to bestow. He doesn't know what that is. He starts studying the wisdom of Kabbalah. He doesn't understand what is required. What is required of him? It's like sometimes we talk to a baby, to a little child, and we try to explain something to him, and he's looking at you with wide open eyes, with his mouth open, not understanding what are we saying. The same with people that come to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. That even after several years. Still another year and another year until a person begins to grasp these concepts, also to only hear them from afar, that there is the matter of bestow, coming out of the world to receive. What is Egypt? What is the land of Yesharkel, meaning Israel? And more and more, it's hard to come closer to it. And when he starts approaching it a bit, to him it seems like burning fire. He's not willing, he can't agree, he pushes it away. Somehow, here, there, Yeshivat Chaverim, talking about something, well, okay. If that's what you have to do, he's still listening, even if he doesn't understand why and what for. And later on, maybe a few years later, maybe even a few years go by, and then he starts understanding that there's the matter of rising above himself, rising above his desire, above his ego, disconnecting from himself, adhering to what we call bestowal, and that this adhesion to a second nature is something that he does by being adhered to the correct environment, to the ten. Then he starts understanding how critical it is. Before that, he was thinking, maybe it's just talk. Yeah, they talk. It's pretty talk. Like, we're used to in life that you talk about one thing, but you think about something else. But here it's impossible. Here, it's a true thing. And so, he all the time calculates, can he, can't he, is he willing, is he not? And therefore, 1,000 go into a room, and 1 comes out into light. But really, it all depends on the extent to which a person convinces himself that there's no other way. That there's no way back, but only forward. And then he begins to understand that actually, to the contrary, that he has merited something special. That his life isn't like everyone else's, but he has a special opportunity. And from there, awakens the importance, the greatness of the path of the Creator, of the Ten, of the environment. The point in the heart starts growing, becomes important. And a sign that he has merited this is joy. That he is joyous since he has the beginning of the Nefesh of Gedusha. And now he is about to start developing it and advancing that way. So joy is a sign that man already understands that he is in the hands of the good fortune or on his way there, even though that he didn't acquire it yet, he's not really in it yet, but he's already on his way there. And if he has the recognition of evil, the joy, different such discernments, along with the ten, with the learning, with the group, then he is ready probably to come closer to the entrance point into spirituality. So, let's see it.
First excerpt from Baal Sulam, Or HaBahir. With his almightiness, the Creator invented a tactic by which the lower ones can nonetheless perceive his illuminations. The sages call this tactic darkness, as in, and creates darkness, from the words, come and see darkness. That is, the prevention of flight and our weak perception of it, which we understand as darkness, is the faithful reason for the perception of the light. This is the meaning of as the advantage of flight from within the darkness, meaning that our whole perception of the light is from within the darkness.
That to the measure to which we understand our life as darkness, that this is how we experience it, that we don't know, don't feel where we are, we're not yet in the attribute of bestowal, which is the quality of the Creator, that we don't know to understand and are completely incapable of even understanding who and what is the upper. That all these discernments for us are darkness, then vis-a-vis to that, we can start coming closer to the light, the understanding, the recognition, the coming out of our ego, rising above this short life of ours. All these things, even though that it's still filled with in order to receive, but the inclination is already towards the light. So don't let go of the darkness, don't hate it, but as much as we understand that this thing is necessary, because we as the created beings, we can only feel one against the other, both in our world, where the lights felt only upon the darkness. The same way in spirituality, only the definitions of light and darkness there are different than in our world, that light is bestowal and giving, the qualities of the Creator, and the darkness is the very opposite, our qualities with which we turn to the revelation of the light. Meaning, both the darkness is something that we yet have to reveal, the closer we come to revealing the light. Because in the meantime, we still don't know what exactly in Kabbalah is called darkness. And also, what is the light? The light that we see isn't the light, also the darkness. What are spiritual light and darkness? These are things that we will have yet to find. Please.
The next excerpt number 2 from Zohar for all Bereshit. According to the extent of the panim of the degree, so is the extent of its achoraim. The instillment of Ahuraim is a calling and an invitation to instill the Panim. This is why, by the measure of the concealment of the Ahuraim that they attained, they knew the measure of the disclosure that they were about to attain. As Rabbi Shimon heard, he was calling him Shimon and not Rabbi Shimon. This means that the instillment of the Ahuraim, which is a calling, was so strong that he lost all his degrees and became a simple person, Shimon from the market. By that, he recognized that it was a calling and an invitation for a very high attainment of the Panim.
We too have to understand the very same way that the darkness that we feel as a result of the studying, the connection, all of these things, all of these states that we experience that are darkness, it's an invitation, it's a call. It's the Creator actually pulling us by this darkness to Himself. If we understand that this is how it is, then actually we advance from the darkness. We grow in the darkness. In the darkness, we prepare our vessels, like we learn from tests, that the kelim grow at night and towards the dawn, towards the morning. It's the zivug at midnight, the zivug of Abba and Ima, in order to prepare the kelim for the lower ones. And then, in the next shifts, or the next parts, comes the light towards the dawn. And therefore, we really have to appreciate these states that are opposite to the light, that are of the opposite of confidence, of understanding, of any sensation, that we're confused, that we're, well, in short, we're disoriented. That specifically these states, they're the ones that build the preparation for the revelation of the light. And this is why, according to the extent of the invitation, the extent of the darkness, to the extent to which we accept it as an invitation, we can already identify the degree that we're coming to, the extent to which we're ready for revelation, and that we're ready for the revelation, not only according to the extent to which we're willing to feel the darkness, but the extent to which we're willing to reach the light. And the difference, the change from the darkness to the light, it depends on the extent to which we change our definitions, our inner definitions, like in a computer, and then the darkness becomes light. Okay? Yeah?
Can we perhaps put it in some formula? Let's say light equals dark times something, or light equals dark plus something, something like that.
Ken,
It's possible. Only, I don't think that things will get any clearer as a result. The darkness that we feel, we have to make a tzimtzum over it, a masach, an haka'a, a beating, and then that darkness turns into light. There's no new light that comes or anything. We only say it, we only put it that way. But if I, with my will to receive, make these kinds of actions called the recognition of evil, and then the tzimtzum, masach, ochozeo, zivugdaka, then I receive the light. Now, it's all working with the will to receive. Because to begin with and forever, we're in the light.
Look, I naturally respect the light and pleasure. How to respect darkness suddenly? It's unnatural to respect the dark.
If I receive it from the upper, that surely doesn't do anything just so, but the light and the darkness are interconnected. In building the Kali and the light that fulfills the Kali, all in all, it's building my soul. So, I don't see any difference between the two. But it all depends on the extent to which, what do I ascribe, attribute to the light and the darkness? And really, the darkness is much more important to me than the light is, because it builds my state, my kli, my desires, it's my foundations. Everything comes from the recognition of the kli and the light. What is light? Oh, the kli that receives the quality of bestowal by the reforming light starts revealing that very darkness as light. There is no darkness. Everything is light. But regarding myself, it depends whether I see it as one thing or another, light or darkness.
Okay, but he says here, the advantage of light out of darkness. What is that?
Yeah. That to the measure to which I will reveal the darkness, it'll turn into light. The darkness itself, we talked about it many times, Ota. In Aramaic, it's darkness, Ota, that comes from the word light, because Aramaic is the...
I never understood why you need darkness.
There is no darkness. This is only regarding us until I will change my vessels, that they will start identifying with the Creator. Then I'll feel light instead of darkness. I'll feel that I'm filled with light, that I'm in an ocean of light, that there's no darkness at all. And then the darkness shall shine as the light. Why? Because I inverted it from darkness to light in my own definitions.
How is this darkness expressed? How does it manifest?
That I start receiving what I previously felt in my vessels of reception as darkness. Now in my vessels of bestowal, I discover it as light. The kelim changed.
What do I feel then? Let's say in general, what do I feel? Darkness, I feel bad. I feel bad. What is that? What is that darkness?
It didn't ever happen to you in life.
All the time. My whole life is dark.
Yeah, but suddenly, tick, and something turns.
It's rare, though.
You look at something, you hate it. Suppose you see that your house is on fire. It's on fire. A person from the insurance company comes, he gives you a paycheck for $5 million, and you know, the house maybe cost just $1 million. So obviously it turns,
but that's called light when I take it that way.
Yeah, when you were looking at it, it was darkness, that everything's burning, everything's gone. Suddenly you see. Yeah.
Okay, the thing is, I myself experience this, especially before Congresses. Before Congresses, there are many problems. People become sick. There is a whole mess. Why? Why do you need that? Why can't it all be good?
I don't understand this. I never felt it.
You yourself always say that you're sick before Congresses. I'm always sick before Congresses. You say that.
I'm ill before Congresses?
Yeah, that's what you would say. Every time there's a Congress, you'd say, I don't feel good, I'm ill. That's
what I say.
Okay, but what's the reason for it? Why do I need the darkness? Good, I'm going to the Congress. What do I need the darkness for?
The light excels from the darkness.
Why? What is it for?
You can't understand it in any other way. In our world, it's clear to you that in a few hours, you're going to be hungry, and then you're going to eat, and then you feel minus, and then you'll feel plus. That there's day and night, that there's darkness, and you turn something on, and there's light. When it's cold, you turn on the heating and it's warm. Or the other way around. It's hot, you turn on the cooling and it's cold. There are things that change in and of themselves. In spirituality, you have to evoke these things. You have to invite it to have the darkness, and then that the light excels from the darkness. Otherwise, you will not be able to feel what light is, only from the darkness that preceded it. Period. Don't want to talk about it anymore. You can keep going with your stubbornness, but you have to work with your head a bit. This is different phenomena in this world, physics, you name it. But this is the only way. And therefore, what we feel as created beings are sensations made out of a thing and its opposite. Not just one thing. Were you in the white light, you'd feel nothing. Only just something that's a bit different from it gives you enlivenment. And your sensations and your vision, smell, taste, touch, that give you, even if you're given the sweetest thing, you want to break it a bit for it to be a bit bitter. This is how it is with everything. I gave many such examples that you make sweet, sweet, sweet cookies, yet a bit whiskey. How's that possible? You can't feel something really, really sweet if you don't have something bitter inside.
So actually we're being taught to appreciate these states.
Not to appreciate, but to feel. In spirituality, we're in the spiritual world. Where is it? Doesn't exist. So the wisdom of Kabbalah, it teaches us how to start feeling where you are. So I have to feel two discernments in the spiritual world, one against the other. The Creator has created this against that. If I don't distinguish the two, if I'm not in between the two, then I don't feel it. Then I'm like an animal, but still vegetative and the animate. This is what we're taught. Now, how can I feel spirituality? What is darkness in spirituality? What is light in spirituality? How can we ourselves bring ourselves closer to the spiritual light and darkness? This is what we're talking about for years now.
Moscow.
Ну, что еще важно вот в этой тьме? Это ведь не только преимущество света.
What else is important about this darkness? It's not only the advantage of the light, because it's not that a person immediately feels bad in the will to receive. Surely there is some effort here, an appeal to the Creator. So what else needs to be done in that state of darkness?
We have to learn what the Kabbalists tell us and do what they recommend us to do. And then we'll start discerning what is good, what is bad, what is light and what is darkness in spirituality according to the instructions that and according to their instructions that we follow. So they tell us, you have to get together, yeshivat chaverim, read this, do that, do whatever you can. And then you will start feeling what they're talking about. What is darkness and what is light? Gradually you'll start differentiating. When a person's born, when he comes out of his mother, then he can't hear, he doesn't see anything. After a few days, his eyes start opening, he starts feeling the difference between light and darkness. Then his ears start responding to some noises and so on, sounds. And then the other senses, and then he starts developing these senses more and more, and the mind starts following the senses in order to discern what's going on in the senses, in each and every sense in particular, and the connection between the senses, and this is what develops the mind. Were the mind not to be influenced by the senses, it would not develop. And then man couldn't understand where he is altogether. That's how we are in spirituality. We have to start developing and differentiating between the spiritual light and darkness, where darkness is reception and bestowal is light. And that's the only way. Imagine a different world where there's only reception and bestowal. That's it. Bestowal is the creator. Reception is the created being. And you can be in spirituality only on condition that you equalize with the creator. Then you enter his world.
No.
How is that possible? In order to bestow. To bestow is the creator. We can be only in order to bestow. This is what we're taught, all in all. Good. Let's continue.
Excerpt number 3 from Abbas's article, What is the herdsman of Abraham's cattle and the herdsman of Lot's cattle in the work? In every beginning, a person must start over with the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven. It is not enough that yesterday he had faith in the Creator. For this reason, every acceptance of the kingdom of heaven is considered a new discernment. Now he receives a part of the vacant space that was devoid of the kingdom of heaven and admits that empty place in and fills it with the kingdom of heaven. It follows that now he has sorted out a new thing which did not exist before he took that empty place and filled it with the kingdom of heaven. This is regarded as elevating a new spark into Kedusha, into holiness. Finally, from all the ascents, he always raises sparks from the vacant space into the Kedusha. It follows that from each descent, he arrives at a new beginning and raises new sparks.
Here he's talking about something else already, more advanced, that from above, from the Creator, we get a certain discernment of what the darkness is. How can we turn that darkness into light? And then we'll have a couple, darkness and light, a pair. One discernment, then darkness and light, another discernment, and this is how we'll advance. So what does he say? That every time a person has to begin anew the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven meaning to bring himself, to bring himself closer to in order to bestow. And it's not enough that yesterday he believed in the Creator, meaning that he made an act of bestowal. Yesterday meaning last time. That was already done this way, that every time, this is how we live, each and every moment, that's called spirituality, that it has tick, tack, tick, tack, darkness, light, darkness, light. Therefore, the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven is discerned as something new. Meaning what? That I accept that my situation now is coming from the Creator in order for me to attribute it, to relate it to as coming from the Creator, in order for me to accept it, in order for me to understand that in my attitude I have to invert it into good, into joy, into light, into moving towards the Creator. And this is discerned, this considered a new discernment. That is, now he receives a part of the vacant space that was devoid of the kingdom of heaven, that my will to receive was, you know, simply on my level, on the animate level, and admits that empty place and fills it with the kingdom of heaven. Meaning that I understand that it's coming from the Creator in order for me to now begin to fill it with my attitude. That I want for this place to be intended for bestowal. For my desire to be meant for bestowal. Suppose I'm in a group and I have different desires, and now I'm directing them or one of these desires to the benefit of the group. It's called that one accepts upon himself the kingdom of heaven. It follows that now he sorted out a new thing which did not exist before. He took that empty place where there was no, where the Creator wasn't in control, so to speak, and filled it with the kingdom of heaven. This regarded as an as elevating a new spark into the Kedusha. This is how, bit by bit, time after time, what I'm willing to do. Finally, from all the ascents, he always raises sparks from the vacant space into the Kedusha. It follows that from each and every descent, he arrives at a new beginning and raises new sparks. Questions?
No.
Yeah.
What's the connection between spiritual darkness and corporeal darkness?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Corporeality as a whole was given to us so that from it and onwards, we will discover what spirituality is. Everything in corporeality as a branch from its root.
Do I have to feel corporeal darkness before I discover spiritual darkness, which I can turn to light, or...
Otherwise, you won't understand what they're saying.
So the process goes like this. I have to feel darkness in corporeality to get some spiritual discernment from it and turn that into light, which is spiritual.
What does it mean to invert this? I don't understand. Can you invert the light that you see on the outside now? You see through the window, darkness. It's dark, right? Can you turn it into light?
What I heard you say previously is that you need to make a tzimtzum restriction, zivug daka, and then the darkness becomes light. That's what I heard you say. So I suppose, yes, I need to do something in order to turn the darkness into light.
What darkness?
That's what I'm asking. What's the difference, or what's the connection?
Darkness means, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, in spirituality, that you have kelim, are in kelim, in which you feel the will to receive, and it's empty. And it's the opposite of the Creator. It's far from Kedusha. In it, you can't bestow onto anything, and you determine that this state is darkness. Why? Because it's not with the Creator. But what kind of relation is there between the light and darkness that we see outside? But we were born in this world, meaning what? In some kind of imagination, but in this imagination, we have different definitions of what light and darkness, good and bad are, sweet, bitter, it doesn't matter. We have a world that's filled, that's full of branches. We have to take these branches, the language of the branches, and by them to elevate ourselves to the roots. But it's not that I turn this darkness that you have on the outside here and convert it into light. How is that possible?
That's exactly what I said. I said I take this corporeal darkness.
What corporeal darkness? How do you take it? In your hand?
No, I have a will to receive, which is currently empty. That's what I call darkness in corporeality. I want something, and I don't have it. It's completely corporeal in order to receive.
This I don't get. It's a feeling.
Yes.
This feeling, is it good or bad?
Bad.
Bad, suppose.
Bad, yes, I want...
You call it darkness.
Yes, I call it darkness.
So it doesn't matter whether outside there is light or darkness.
No, no, it's all in my will to receive as I feel it.
Good. So you feel in your will to receive darkness. From what?
From wanting something and not having it.
Right. I wanted to make 100 shekels today, and I lost 200.
Let's say, or even I only earned 50 instead of 100. It's already darkness.
Okay, it's clear. That's clear to everyone. But this is darkness. This is called the darkness. This is called darkness in this world that you have desires for. food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, and these desires, all of them, or to some extent, they're not full. And you're suffering as a result. The suffering that you feel as a result of these desires not being filled the way you want them to right now is called darkness.
Corporeal darkness.
Corporeal. Good. So we understand each other. Now, what are you asking? How do you turn that into spirituality, into the spiritual light?
Yes, this corporeal darkness which I now have, it's...
You can't do anything about it. You live in this world, and you have it. Go. Work, succeed. Do what you have to do, and fill these desires. How is it related to Kabbalah?
That's exactly what I'm asking. I want to understand this corporeal darkness, which we've now just clarified what it is. How is it related to the spiritual darkness?
Unrelated. I only said that by being in this world and having a language, Kabbalists, they can explain what in the spiritual root does it mean, do darkness and light mean, and so on. But there's no connection. That now you'll turn on the light or you'll make 200 shekels and you'll be happy about it. As a result, there will be no changes in spirituality.
Meaning that there's no connection of any kind between corporeal darkness and what we call spiritual darkness.
Right.
Spiritual darkness, as far as I'm concerned, is a lack in our connection with the Ten and our work.
Excellent. If this is the kind of darkness you reach, then you have the ability to turn it into light. Yeah.
So, continuing Eyal's question, we see that sometimes there are corporeal problems, darkness in corporeality, as Eyal described it, which bring about greater connection and positive things.
Because they exist in one body, that in this body there is the yearning for the feeling of the spiritual good. The corporeal good. That's why we're made that way. Well put. But it's not that there is some root and branch that are clearly connected directly with one another. Good. What else? Yeah.
Why do these definitions define if I will feel darkness or light? Why is the form in which I define darkness already makes it darkness or light?
I define darkness. We talked about it with Eyal. Darkness, it means either it's darkness from the outside, on the outside, meaning that we have there's no sun right now, or because there's no electricity. This is the corporeal darkness. Corporeal darkness could be that today I lost instead of winning or gaining something. Now, spiritual darkness is that I feel that my desires are not directed at bestowal. This is spiritual darkness. Now, if I'll work on the corporeal darkness, I can reach the light. I can turn on the light. If I'll work on the spiritual darkness, I can work and then also turn on the spiritual light. I'm not talking about the corporeal darkness. There, it's fulfilling the desires. I'm talking about spiritual darkness because I heard you say several times from the beginning of the lesson that it's the way you define the language of the branches. What do you want to ask? Maybe I didn't get what you're saying. Spiritual darkness, it means that I do not have the attribute of a soul. I feel bad. And I discern that this bad is because I don't have the quality of the soul. Then it's really darkness. Otherwise, it just feels bad. As a result of determining that the bad is lack of bestowal, then I do different things in order to reach bestowal. As a result, I'll feel light that will fill me, and then you do what you have to do.
So spiritual darkness is only in respect to what I feel bad about in spirituality, meaning in respect to the creator, connection, bestowal.
Yeah.
Only that's called darkness?
Yeah.
So how will I begin to feel such lacks if I'm still thinking about the fulfillment of the corporeal vessels? I mean, how do you separate these desires?
I try to do it in the group. That's all I have. All in all, where I can really carry out spiritual actions is in bestowing to the ten, that in my action toward the ten, I activate the upper light. I have no other way of making it work on me. I can do it personally if I do different things, but it's so tiny that you really can't make anything out of it. The main thing is the action in the ten. Working in the ten, this, the relations between us, that Kabbalists, this is what they meant, that it's 100% in sync with the spiritual Avaya, then turns out that this action has to lead to results.
So I can begin to feel darkness in respect to spirituality, so long as I have a desire to fill up the darkness I feel in the corporeal vessels?
Of course.
How do you do that?
In the morning, you go to work, you have to earn money to have what to come home with in order to feed your family. And for you, it's work and concern and sadness and joy along with all of these things, yeah. And
all right, okay, that's clear to me, that sensation of darkness. But I feel that as long as it exists, you're not free to experience spiritual darkness.
Why? Along with it, besides that, you have another concern in life.
They're different vessels.
Right? This is why you can be in both.
But the corporeal vessels, they capture you completely.
No such thing. It's impossible that you're entirely only in corporeal vessels. We're not made that way. I don't believe, and I know, that it's not that way.
Isn't some restriction supposed to be on them?
Rabash used to pave the Hebron Road. He worked as a cobbler. He worked, he did different things. And so there were states where there was nothing to eat, and so on and so forth. Illnesses, whatnot. And along with it, he invested all of his time, all of his attention, all of his abilities into the wisdom of Kabbalah. And from the attainment of the Creator, that gave him all these difficulties.
So this whole world has no connection with spirituality? No connection?
Upon this world, you have to attain spirituality. I don't get your question. What does it mean that there's no connection? Sure there is. You bet. And you'll start better understanding it. Once you'll attain spirituality, you'll start understanding how they dress in each other, really like a hand and a glove. I'm saying that there's no connection because if I feel darkness in the corporeal kilim, then they're unrelated to spirituality. They're unrelated to spirituality. Now I don't have a job, I have something.
There is a connection to spirituality as root and branch. All the corporeal vessels, we also feel them that way, as we do, because they work according to the same plan, which leads us to the purpose of life, the purpose of creation. Of course, nothing happens to a person corporeally. It's written that even if even to lift a little finger or a small fly that flies by, nothing happens if it doesn't stem from the purpose of life, the end of correction. Everything cascades down from there. So do you need to relate in a certain specific manner to those branches? Rav, no, you need to regard only what you're told about in respect to the spiritual vessel. In corporeality, act as you do in corporeality. Don't be confused. Okay, so it turns out that you keep running after the same desires corporeally. Love. It may be that you continue to chase after them all day, but with that you could think that you do this in order to live, and you're living in order to attain spirituality, divinity. How do you add that part into your life? Love. In thought. Everything is clarified by thought. Okay, but where do you get this? How do you start thinking that I'm doing everything for that purpose? If you don't have it, then just leave it off. What do you want from me? I'm teaching people who want to get to that. This is, and with all the hard work and the burden that's upon them, they suffer, they tolerate it, and they advance. And that's what the Kabbalists across all the generations did as well. This is... Rabash told me about them, not a lot. I now regret not asking more, because he knew, he felt them, he knew them. All of them had hard lives. What kind of hard life do you have? Are you in exile? Do people chase after you to beat you? Or are you being thrown from country to country by your enemies? Are you in constant fear that people may come upon you and do to you who knows what? What are you crying about? Yes, Amnon. So from this conversation, a thought occurs to me. Who turns the darkness to light for the created being? The created being or the creator? Of the created being himself, as it is written, who turns darkness to light and bitter to sweet? In the introduction to the book of Zohar. But he writes, creates darkness. It's the creator. Love. Of course, it's the creator, but the created being needs to invoke those changes. It's not him doing it. It's the creator doing it. But according to the invocation of the created being, the raising of man. Okay, but I thought, in corporeality, it's clear. The globe revolves, and the sun comes up, and there's darkness and light. Of laughs. Everything stems from the same will. You, the earth, all of your desires, everything comes from that same will. So this means that the darkness is turned to light by the created being. Love. The created being turns the darkness into light within himself. Inside of him. It's not that there's something to change out here. The created being. As you are sometimes sad and suddenly, bum, it changes. What a beautiful world. Suddenly, what happened to you? Something just jumped inside. Ticked over. That's change. Thank you. Love. In our lives, we need, first of all, to understand that these changes depend on us, and we can always raise ourselves from bad feelings to good ones in order to justify the Creator. Not for us to feel good, but in order to justify the Creator. All right? No, Tzvika. Wait. Yes, Vlad. If, for example, we want to gather as the 10, and nobody wants to do this, and we do it, we coerce ourselves to do it, and we do it, and then we feel good. Is that turning darkness to light? Love. Yes. Well, it's not dark nor light, but it's work. It's good exertion that you've made, and it's worthwhile. Vlad. So all of these actions, that's our work, that's what we need to do? Love. Not only that, but actions of that sort, yes. Vlad. What else? Love. I cannot say. You sleep, drink, be healthy. Vlad, this is incorporeality. Love, so what do you want of me? Go to Abash and see what he writes. He tells you what you need to do with the friends. What kind of question is that? What else needs to be done? Vlad, I mean, all of the work with the friends, everything that a person does is aimed towards love, connection, towards connection only. Towards connection. All right, continue. Excerpt 4 from Zohar for All, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, Night of the Bride, 138. It is a law that the Creator cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator. For it is a flaw in the glory of the Creator for the creature to perceive Him as an evildoer. For this is unbecoming of the complete operator. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator's guidance lies upon him, and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent. This is the greatest punishment in the world. Thus, the sensation of good and evil in relation to his guidance brings with it a sensation of reward and punishment. For one who exerts not to part from faith in the Creator is rewarded even when he tastes a bad taste in providence. And if he does not exert, he will have a punishment, because he is separated from faith in the Creator. Love. This means that we must come to a state where we preserve that connection with the upper light. He is doing everything to the extent that it doesn't matter to me the state I'm in. If I feel good or bad, I feel it all because it comes from the Creator. And from that, I feel good, light. And alongside the fact that in my vessels, I feel darkness. That's alongside it. But with that, above my vessels, I feel in contact with the Creator, and therefore for me it is light. Meaning the bad sensation or the good sensation, it doesn't work on me, but rather it is from whom am I receiving it. That's what's important to me. So the greatness of the Creator then turns the darkness or gives me the darkness or the light, the greatness of the Creator, and not my own feeling. Meaning, I come to a state where what I feel is only an indication for me by which to measure the greatness of the importance in my estimation. If I'm constantly ascending, despite the differences, the changes of dark and light, accordingly I measure my spiritual state. Meaning, what is the most important, the greatest degree? It's where actually in my vessels I have nothing, and Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, is never revoked, and Malchut remains empty. But from where do we receive the light and discover Him? In reflected light, O Chozer, in giving, above the feeling in the Kli, in the Malchut. Meaning, I am in my will to receive, and I don't care about what I feel in it, good or bad. Rather, I'm concerned about how to feel above in relation to the Creator from whom I'm receiving, because I receive from Him, it doesn't matter what I receive, good or bad, dark, light, doesn't matter, but because it's from Him, it is good. And the more darkness I have in my vessel, in my will to receive, but I also have this awareness that it comes from the upper light, the Creator, then I'm in an even more sublime sensation, a superior degree.
meaning the more we raise ourselves, the more we ascend the ladder, my vessel empties out even more. The darkness is greater. But because I receive it from the Creator, I have a more exalted feeling and I enjoy it more. And this is the definition of being in order to bestow. Is it a little clearer? All right, read it again.
It is a law, excerpt number 4. It is a law that the creature cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator, for it is a flaw in the glory of the Creator, for the created being to perceive him as an evildoer. For this is unbecoming of the complete operator. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator's guidance lies upon him, and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent. This is the greatest punishment in the world. Thus, the sensation of good and evil in relation to his guidance brings with it the sensation of reward and punishment. For one who exerts to not part from faith in the Creator is rewarded even when he tastes a bad taste in providence, and if he does not exert, he will have a punishment because he is separated from faith in the Creator.
Try to understand this. I don't want to explain it further because it's for the internal understanding.
Excerpt number 5.
Continue.
Rabash, the whole of the Torah is one holy name. We must always consider the goal, which is to do good to his creations. If the evil inclination comes to a person and asks him all of Pharaoh's questions, he should not reply with lame excuses, but say, "Now, with your questions, I can begin with the work of bestowal." This means that we should not say about the questions of the evil inclination that it came to us in order to lower us from our degree. On the contrary, now it is giving us a place to work by which we will ascend on the degrees of wholeness. That is, any overcoming in the work is called walking in the work of the Creator, since each penny joins into a great amount. That is, all the times we overcome accumulate to a certain measure required to become a kli for the reception of the abundance.
This is what we need to see in every single state that comes, which perhaps wasn't so good in different ways, gray, black, a little bit cloudy, let's say, not sunny, no light. We need to understand that all these states come only for us to complete the lack that they bring us with the greatness of the Creator that needs to come from us. Who do I receive it from? Why? With whom am I connected? And then, the more I feel lacking within the vessel in order to be happy, if I was happy right now, what does it mean to be happy? It's something. Now, I need to imagine how much do I need the greatness of the Creator in order to feel such joy. And to be concerned about that, not about the fulfillment, but rather the greatness of the Creator. Is that clear? Or isn't it? This is the same in our world as root and branch, right? I saw in Mushi's house on the wall, or in his office, I saw medals, each one like a big plate.
made of, I don't know, some ceramics or iron, something, you know, not... But it's not the material that has worth. Rather, there's something special about it, right? When, let's say, someone brings you some metal. Meaning, it doesn't matter what the actual thing is, but rather to what extent the person appreciates it, values it, or other people, to what extent they value it. That's how it is with us also. And so we need to understand that what I truly lack in my life is the greatness of the Creator. The greatness of the Creator needs to complete my lacks in this life. With whom am I in touch? To whom am I connected? With whom am I dealing? To aspire to that, yearn for that, regardless of what happens, even if my life is taken away. If there is a connection to the Creator there, it needs to fulfill me entirely. Clear, right? What don't you understand? This? Yes, you. You don't understand this? Or is it something else? This. All right, then ask.
I
actually want to scrutinize something about this. It follows that the attribute of bestowal is the greatness of the Creator. That's it.
Right.
How is this related to love of others?
That is all in order to awaken in you, to scrutinize it, increase the greatness of the Creator. The whole world, all of the created beings, the shattering of Adam HaRishon, and it's his correction, it's all in order to... It's for us to be able to appreciate the greatness of the Upper One, of the Creator.
So it's a means, and the goal is always the greatness of the Creator.
Yes, everything else is a means. The goal is the greatness of the Creator.
One more thing, without darkness, there's no work. We have to have this revelation that the light excels from the darkness.
Yes.
So why, in the text we just read, turns out that it's like a curse, that the darkness isn't appreciated, or I didn't get it correctly?
You misunderstood it. And also, that's not a way to ask. Why in that previous... text, how can you ask like that? You need to bring a quote and to say exactly what you don't understand there. Otherwise, it's a different time. Continue.
Excerpt number 6. Rabash, the meaning of truth and faith. We were given the path of faith which is above reason, namely not to take our sensations and reason into account.
You see, the whole lesson is built on the basis of us not taking our feelings into consideration. Not what we feel in our hearts and not what we think in our minds.
Say, as it is written, they have eyes and see not. They have ears and hear not.
Eyes relate to Chokhmah and ears to Binah.
Rather, we should believe that the Creator is certainly the overseer, and he knows what is good for me and what's not good for me. Therefore, he wants me to feel my state as I do. And for myself, I don't care now. I don't care how I feel myself because I want to work in order to bestow. Therefore, the main thing is that I need to work for the Creator. And although I feel that there is no wholeness in my work, still, in the Kelim of the Upper One, meaning from the perspective of the Upper One, I am utterly complete. As it is written, the cast out will not be cast out from him. Hence, I am satisfied with my work, that I have the privilege of serving the king, even at the lowest degree. That too, I regard as a great privilege that the Creator has allowed me to come closer to Him, at least to some degree.
Well, for example, to be an ubal, an embryo. I don't care then about anything other than adhering to Him. I'm receiving from Him. That's the only thing I'm thinking about. That's the only thing that determines my path in life, and that's it. Nothing else besides. The point of adhesion is there. Then I'm in Him already. Continue.
Keta Shvei.
Excerpt number 7. Rabash, in the article, "These candles are sacred," says, "And the most important is the prayer. That is, one must pray to the Creator to help him go above reason. Meaning that the work should be with gladness, as though he has already been rewarded with the reason of Kedusha. And what joy he would feel then. Likewise, he should ask the Creator to give him this power so he can go above the reason of the body. In other words, although the body does not agree to this work in order to bestow, he asks the Creator to be able to work with gladness, as is suitable for one who serves a great king. He does not ask the Creator to show the greatness of the Creator and then he will work gladly. Rather, he wants the Creator to give him joy in the work of above reason, that it will be as important to a person as if he already has reason.
Because if it goes into reason, then it's the regular corporeal vessels, not spiritual vessels, and he won't identify with the Creator. And so he asks specifically to have this concealment. And he works with that. It's called humbly. He wants but one thing: to have the power to be in a state where he's seemingly disconnected from the Creator, but resembling Him. That's the most, let's say, honorable, most special state. All right, continue.
Excerpt number 8. Rabash, letter 77.
Write down all your questions. Write them down.
Hence, we must not be impressed by the sense, since many pennies join into a great amount. This is, as we learned, there is no absence in spirituality, rather that it has temporarily departed in order to have room for work to advance. This is so because every moment that we scrutinize into holiness enters the domain of holiness, and a person descends only in order to sort out more sparks of holiness.
Meaning, he doesn't fall, rather he ascends through the left. That's why it's called darkness, a descent.
However, there is an advice that one should not wait until his degree is lowered for him. And when he feels his lowliness, he goes up again. And that ascent is regarded as sorting apart into holiness. Instead, he himself descends and elevates other sparks and raises them into the domain of holiness. It is, as our sages said, before I lose, I search. Meaning, before I lose the situation I'm in, I start searching. It is, as Baruch Salam said about King David, who said, I awaken the dawn. Our sages said, I awaken the dawn, and the dawn does not awaken me.
Yes, here he speaks about hastening the times, meaning that I don't feel the sense darkness, and then I go looking for the greatness of the Creator, and adhering to them and ascending further, but rather that I myself
awaken the darkness. What I have now isn't enough for me, because, and by what do I do this? I search for more of the greatness of the Creator, which I don't have. It's not apparent to me, but I search. Where can I find more? Where else can I add? By that I hasten, I accelerate, I stimulate the a new thing. As if pulling it out of concealment so that it is revealed, a new state, meaning the darkness will be revealed. But I awaken the darkness. And we have the capability to do this. And how? If you want to ask, I'll tell you. From the Rishimot. Rishimot Dalet Gimel, Gimel Bet. It's always the Rishimot I work with always have a Rishimot from a higher degree. Although they cannot be used, it's a Rishimot Dehitlabshut, not of a viewed. Is that clear? For example, in Sag, you have Rishimot Gimel Bet, so I work with Rishimot Bet Deviud. But I can reach Gimel Deit Labshut, which I have from Ab. And this means awakening, to awaken the dawn. I myself awaken the upper, the more superior Pertsuf. So it's clear where it comes from? Good. Continue.
Excerpt number 9. Rabash, Article 4, they helped everyone his friend. We see that there is one thing that is common to all. The mood. It said, a concern in one's heart, let him speak of it with others. This is because with regard to feeling high-spirited, neither wealth nor erudition can be of assistance. Rather, it is one person who can help another by saying that one's friend is low. It's written, one does not deliver oneself from imprisonment. Rather, it is one's friend who can lift his spirit. This means that one's friend raises him from his state into a state of liveliness. Then one begins to reacquire strength and confidence of life and wealth, and he begins as though his goal is now near him. It turns out that each and every one must be attentive and think how he can help his friend raise his spirit. Because in the matter of spirits, anyone can find any place in one's friend that he can fill.
Well, usually, thus far we've discussed the greatness of the Creator. Here we're talking about something lesser, so to speak, lesser than that. I need to awaken the friends by giving them high spirits, but this is possible, but the higher degree is awakening them towards the greatness of the Creator. As much as we have it. And with whom are we dealing? More.
Excerpt number 10. Zohar for all. All the many contradictions to his uniqueness which we taste in this world separate us from the Creator. Yet, when exerting to keep Torah and Mitzvot with love, with our soul and might, as we are commanded to bestow contentment upon our Maker, all those forces of separation do not affect us into subtracting any of the love of the Creator with all our souls and might. Rather, in that state, every contradiction we have overcome becomes a gate for attainment of His wisdom. This is so because there is a special quality in each contradiction, revealing a special degree in attaining Him. And those worthy ones who have been rewarded with it turn darkness into light and bitter into sweet. For all the power of separation from the darkness of the mind and the bitterness of the body have become to them gates of attainment of sublime degrees. Thus the darkness becomes a great light and the bitter becomes sweet. Hence, to the extent that they previously had all the conducts of his unification, of his guidance toward the forces of separation, now they have all been inverted into forces of unification and sentenced the entire world to the side of merit.
This happens through efforts, and we can do this. It cannot be that a person feels bad and leaves it as it is. Because that bad feeling, that's a lack in the greatness of the Creator, awareness of divinity. So he has to make an effort to awaken within himself the sensation of the greatness of the Creator, which fulfills him entirely. He doesn't need anything besides that. If he has some contact with the Creator, even incidental, just a point, then from that point he raises himself to the full measure, full degree. Yes.
Excerpt number 11. Bala Sulam says in letter 18, first thing in the morning, when he rises from his sleep, he should sanctify the first moment with Dvikut with him. Pour out his heart to the Creator to keep him throughout the 24 hours of the day, so that no idle thought will come into his mind. And he will not consider it impossible or above nature. Indeed, it is the image of nature that makes an iron partition, and one should cancel nature's partitions that he feels. Rather, first he must believe that nature's partitions do not cut off from him. Afterward, he should pray from the bottom of his heart, even for something that is above his natural desire. Understand this always. Even when forms that are not of Kedusha traverse you, and they will instantly stop when you remember, see that you pour out your heart, that henceforth the Creator will save you from cessations of Dvikut with Him. Gradually your heart will grow accustomed to the Creator and will yearn to adhere to Him in truth, and the Lord's desire will succeed by you.
Well, so we're done with this lesson. What do I want to say? You see that the main thing is to constantly be in effort. And whatever happens to us, so that whatever happens to us, it won't disconnect us from the Creator. And if it does, we need to immediately reawaken and to demand the greatness of the Creator. Only the greatness of the Creator, and that has to cover all of our problems. Questions? Yes.
Gilad is in the north and he's asking, is the light the greatness of the Creator that is revealed in the ten, and is it important that kind of darkness that brings us to Him?
I understand. No, the main thing is attaining the greatness of the Creator. Afterwards, we'll learn how it relates to the darkness. The most important thing is to immediately awaken to the greatness of the Creator, for Him to fill us up and all of that darkness. From that filling, we will understand. We'll later understand the reasons for it and why these vessels awaken from the shattering in this particular form and through this particular process. Yes, more.
How does the greatness of the Creator exist at the same time with faith above reason?
Specifically, from or in faith above reason, the Creator's greatness is revealed. It's faith above reason is the vessel for the recognition, the understanding, the sensation of the greatness of the Creator. Yes.
Joseph's asking, feeling the greatness of the Creator, is it a kind of revelation of the Creator?
It's a vessel. It's not yet revelation. Inside of that, you begin to discover, to reveal. It's like Or Chozer, reflected light. I don't want to confuse you with too many definitions. The greatness of the Creator. So he's great, you know. For the time being, let's wait a few days with this. Later we'll begin to be more specific. What?
When a person tries, when he's on the way to working above reason, before he reaches the kli called above reason, what does he work with? What is there in between in the process?
He wants to transcend his bad feeling, feeling emptiness, all sorts of unpleasant discernments, right? And to grab hold of the greatness of the Creator. What is the greatness of the Creator? That what he receives, even that darkness that's revealed to him, all these states which accompany it, it all comes from the Creator. And therefore, he is happy. Happy in this, nothing else besides this. That's the point. We want to find the entrance here, where you begin to grasp.
He's happy about it, and what kli?
Acquiring the greatness of the Creator.
In the stage of the effort, still, there's like an intermediate phase.
Even during the search, he's happy that he's in search towards the greatness of the Creator. There are no vessels yet. I can't tell you about a particular clear discernment, but the inclination itself, the fact that he's not immersed in his own little problem like a child, but rather awakens to ask where from, why, who's taking care of him, and for what purpose, that's already an ascent. That's what I want you to get from this lesson, all in all. Yes.
So, in order to have the greatness of the Creator in the Kelim, you have to feel darkness, bad.
Without the sensation of bad, feeling bad, you can't feel that you lack something. And if you lack nothing, how will you feel anything?
So the response supposed to all the time be in direction of the greatness of the Creator regardless of what I feel in the kli?
Correct.
Do I solve what happens in the kli or I don't?
You don't need to solve anything. Love will cover all crimes. You don't solve anything. There's nothing to solve there. You need to obtain the greatness of the Creator, and this will cover everything up.
How do you disconnect from the need to take care of what's going on in the kli, to calm down the feeling of the kli?
I don't need it. I don't need to. If I feel that I got this from the Creator and it's deliberate, it's pulling me forward, I don't need anything else.
I understand this, only I feel that I'm still trying to attain that kli that...
No, let's say my house burned down, but I got a palace instead. You understand? It's a difference. What do I gain from it? And then, later, I understand what connection there is between the bad feeling and connection with the Creator. Why does He awaken us in this way? Why specifically these and those discernments exist in the revelation of evil and the revelation of good?
So with the example of my house burning down, I feel bad because my house burned down, but...
And you pass on to a degree where you understand why and where from. You now have a connection with the Creator and you understand how it's related to the purpose of your existence.
So This is what makes you feel good?
Yes, of course. I don't even take in consideration what I felt bad about before. It's not to be taken into account. It's valueless.
How do you stop taking into account that your house burned down?
I'm connected to him already.
How are you related to him?
Because he illuminates upon me. Now I have a connection with the purpose of life, the purpose of creation. I receive an illumination. And then what I lost, seemingly, it was no loss. These vessels, I only awaken thanks to them. That's their purpose. That's what they're meant for. I'm never going to fill them. The restricted vessel cannot be filled. Malchut remains empty. Malchut Ein Sof. It's only in order to stimulate us, to motivate us.
So besides working on his greatness, there's no other action that you can do that will allow you to decrease the importance of what's going on inside my desire.
No, you need nothing else besides that. Everything else, you'll later see how to work with his greatness in order to sort the vessels, to correct them, to connect them, to organize it. It's all out of the greatness of the Creator.
And this means that we're connected, that we're in contact with the Creator.
How else?
I don't know. Your house burned down. How can you be happy about it? The connection to the Creator doesn't make me any happier for my house burning down.
Can't you envision a state where nothing is more important than to be connected to the Creator?
I can imagine that, but if I look at my situation today, I see that I'm not there yet. I really suffer that my house burned down.
But imagine to yourself that you're naked, you have nothing, you're zero. This is you. Like a baby who just came out of his mother. And that's all. Small, naked, nothing really. And everything that you have is your connection with him. I don't know how to describe it. The moment you feel it, you don't take corporeality into consideration anymore. All right. Well, who's there at the end? Yes.
Does faith quench what you feel
again
in the will to receive, or the joy with the feeling they recite together?
I hold to the greatness of the Creator. He stands before me, the greatness of the Creator. He's related to me, connected to me. I have an illumination from that. That illumination fulfills me, and that's it.
And what about the feeling? Does it make me happy now, or I still feel bad in the darkness?
There is no bad feeling. This illumination from the greatness of the Creator quenches everything else. All right, continue.